Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Hey, I believe God's going to speak to you today. Do you believe it? Hey, even if you were in first service, I want you to incline your ear to be able to hear. I believe God has something for you as well. Mark chapter 4, you have your Bible. Let me see it. Open it up in the air. Hey, lift it up in the air. Come on. I see your Bible on your phone. That's fine. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Open to Mark chapter 4. Mark, the book of Mark, if you're Australian. Book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Mark is in the New Testament. It goes Matthew, Mark. I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church. Let's bring back the days where we're bringing our Bible with us, huh? You bring your Bible into school. You know, I brought my Bible into school. I never wanted to be a pastor. You say, well, that's because you're a pastor. I brought my Bible into school as a baseball player, right? And I had some people asking me about it. One of them sitting right here in the front row. Her name's my wife. She asked me about it. Like, why do you bring your Bible to school? I want to encourage you, bring your Bible. If it's on your phone, read it on your phone. Be a steward of the word. Dive into it on a daily basis. Hey, if you've been seated, I ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord, and then we'll be sitting right back down. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, that day. Everyone say, that day. Which day? That day. Which day? Can I tell you, any day God can show up in your life. And that day can be this day. Which day? That day. When evening came, in other words, it was that day when the day was almost over. Can I tell you, God can show up at any moment in your life. Even when it starts to get dark, don't give up. Even when it starts to get dark and evening is coming and you think, I guess God isn't gonna show up. Can I tell you, God can show up in a moment and turn everything around. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall. Everyone say squall. I just wanted to get that into your vernacular because I don't think you've used that word in any recent time. Came up and the waves broke over the boat. So that was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern. Sleeping on the cushion. Where was he? Sleeping on the cushion. He was sleeping in the boat that was about to sink. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? I don't know what your life has, what has happened in your life over the last several months, years, days, weeks, whatever it may be. Jesus can handle that response, don't you care? But I want you to see that he actually does care for you. It's not just about questioning if God cares, but sometimes the storms in your life actually reveal the very fact that he cared for you all along. To ask that question, God, don't you care? That's okay. God can handle your questions. God can handle your frustrations. God can handle your disappointments. And he wants to reveal to you today that he does care. Don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Other translations say peace. Everyone say peace. Peace. That's the one thing money can't buy. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the cars in the world. You can have the best house. But you can't buy peace. You know what? People say, you can't buy happiness. Well, I like a Maserati. I'd be happy if I was driving the Corvette C8. I'd be happy. You can't buy peace. Jesus brings peace. He brings peace. He says, peace, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? No faith for the storms of life. My goal for you today is to instill faith, regardless of what you face, what you're up against. Let's have a different declaration on our tongue. It says, then they were terrified for another reason. One moment they're terrified that they're going to sink and drown. And the other moment they're like, wow, look at who this person is. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So in one moment you could say, God, don't you care? You're like, wow. In a moment, and I tell you, God can turn things around. And you may ask, well, when? Well, when? I'm here to tell you today that it can happen at any moment. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't question. But to live in faith. Because you don't know. It might be another generation. So be it. This interesting Hebrews chapter 11 talks about those who lived in faith, not receiving what had been promised. And then we receive it. But we're also called to live in it and to die in it, knowing that God is a generational God. Everyone say generational. He's about your kids, your children's children. What is he doing after you? Right? What's he doing in you? Yes, but it's so much bigger than you. So don't make it about you and what God is doing for you, right? But to trust that he is working in you for his good pleasure. Amen? So here we see the disciples and the storms around them, and they are becoming a victim to the storm around them. And then Jesus steps in with a different narrative, speaking quiet, be still. Today I'm going to talk to you about this topic. I am not a victim. I am not a victim. I want you to say that out loud. Say, I am not a victim. Say it one more time, complete. Say, I'm not a victim. Say it right now, right? There you go. Great job. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Speak through your servant today. Help me to get out of the way and to reveal to your people who you really are. Holy Spirit, have your way right now. If you're hungry for the Lord to speak to you, would you open up your hands? Say these words after me. Say, Heavenly Father, speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of God. You may be seated. This world has a narrative. That narrative is largely ruled by fear. The last 4 years have taught you anything. You can get a lot of people to do a lot of things based off of fear. Even today, you can be watching the news, and it's breaking headline after breaking headline. This happening, that happening. The disciples are caught in the middle of a storm, and they are being dictated by what is going around them. Jesus, can I tell you, has called us as Christians to live a different way. That it's not about what is happening around us, but it's actually about what is happening through us. It's what comes out of us when pressure is really applied that determines what we really believe. I've seen a lot of people, when pressure is applied, that they actually reveal a side of themselves that I've never seen before. But can I tell you that when we are squeezed, that's when the fruit actually shows itself. And what I'm believing for every single person here is that no matter what you are up against, no matter what you face, that the Spirit of God is greater than anything that is coming against you, and that when the world presses on you, all that comes out of you is Jesus. See, this world has an agenda. Do not be surprised when you are unable to find these things of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, such as peace, joy, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. These are fruits of the Holy Spirit. Because the world bases these fruits, things like joy, off of things that are happening around them, and not what is technically happening inside them. And as followers of Jesus, we have the promises for our lives. These promises are known as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These are biblical promises. Everyone say promises. They come from the Holy Spirit. But to adopt a biblical promise without the biblical process is to create a God in your own image. Right now, Christianity could technically be falling plague to a God in our own image. We interpret certain scripture verses twist them in order to fit our own narrative. Unfortunately, there's a lot of beliefs seeping into the Christian church. Some of them are a lot of new age, such as, let's say, as a man thinks, so is he. Now, to an extent, that is true. The support translation of the book of Proverbs Yes, to an extent, as a man thinks, so is he. Just don't use that word or that translation because you'll be revealed as a fool because it's a poor translation. All that is speaking to this idea of when a man places food before you, don't eat in front of him because he's always thinking about the cost of what it would be, for as a man thinks, so is he. So context is important. Context is important. Now, your thoughts do dictate a lot, but I can tell you that your thoughts are actually a result of your belief. You may have heard it said, change your thinking, change your life. That may be true, but to change your thinking, you have to change your belief. So change your belief, change your thinking, change your life. If we are what we think, a lot of us would be a lot of really bad things, because who all has like some really bad thoughts pop in their head, and you're like, where in the world did that come from? It comes from hell. So technically, if I said, where the hell does that come from, it would be in context, because it came from hell itself, right? So you are, to an extent, transformed by the renewing of your mind, but your mind is transformed by what you believe. And if you believe Scripture to be the inherent word of God, it will eventually transform you to be like Jesus. But if you believe it to be nothing more than a good book, do not be surprised when you just get good morals but no transformation. To be transformed by the word of God means to interject a different narrative into the world than what the world is used to. We see the disciples right here in a storm, and they become overwhelmed by the idea that they could drown in this storm. They are fearful that what could happen would happen. But here we have Jesus saying something different to what the common narrative is being communicated at the time. In other words, Jesus was not a victim to groupthink. How many of y'all heard of groupthink before? Groupthink is the idea that people create a general narrative, whether it's right or wrong, because the majority says it, that therefore it is true. By definition, it is the practice of thinking or making decisions as a group in a way that discourages creativity or individual responsibility. Groupthink occurs when people's desires to maintain group loyalty is greater than one's own thoughts and belief. I can't help but think, if the disciples had one person, just one person that said, hey guys, Jesus is in the boat. No, it says that, don't you care if we drown? They were fearful. If there was one person that says, hey guys, like, we don't need to worry about the storm. Jesus is right here in this boat. What if we had a church full of people that didn't follow the status quo? That didn't follow the group thinkers, that when other people are slandering, when other people are gossiping, when other people are just going with the flow, that you interjected a word of faith that didn't line up with their fear. That if you just said for a moment, hey guys, Jesus is actually working this for his good. Ah, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Hey, hold on a second. There's a lot of people coming to the faith right now. Ah, the church has declined. People are leaving the faith. Hold on. I'm seeing a lot of Gen Zers being passionate for the Lord like no millennial ever has been before. I'm seeing God transform this nation. I'm not talking about positive thinking. Do not be misguided in what I am presenting here. I am not talking about, hey, we just need to think positive. No, we need to think biblically. It's not about just, hey, you just need to think a little bit more positive about your life. But what does the Bible really say about what you are going through? This idea of groupthink wasn't anything new to the disciples. We found them later after Jesus had died and rose from the grave that they were together, which to be together in unity is good. That's why we have groups, that you can have people that can carry each other's burdens. But when you surround yourself with the wrong voices, don't be surprised when faith is dwindling in your life. You want to find an area of faith to be kindled? Surround yourself with people of faith. That's why church is important. But don't surround yourself with people that are always gossiping, always slandering, that are always talking. And I'm not talking about negative. Man, there's just a negative person. Now, to an extent, yeah, look for faith-filled people. I said, hey, man, I know you're going through that for a moment, but I believe, and I'm believing with you, that God is going to turn this around. I know the diagnosis, but I'm believing God's going to use this. Like, they can speak a word of life. Now, sit down with someone. Don't just always just pass up what they're saying. If they're like, man, like, my wife is leaving me. Oh, count it all joy, brothers. Like, you can have empathy and still have faith. Well, we see the disciples, they were constantly a victim to groupthink. Well, they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. But you have the Holy Spirit, so don't be a victim to groupthink. Be a victor in the Holy Spirit think. The way the Holy Spirit tells you to behave, the way the Holy Spirit tells you to speak. John chapter 20, verse 26, it says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The doors were locked because they were afraid. This was after they had seen Jesus. Everyone had seen Jesus except for Thomas. They had seen Jesus and they were still locking the doors. Why? Because they were surrounding themselves with people that were fearful. Now you could look at the disciples and you could blame them and be like, "Oh yeah, those disciples, they were doing the best they could." You're doing the best you can. You're in a good place right now. You're in church because God is working in your life. Whether you're here because you're voluntarily here or you're involuntarily here. Anyone here involuntarily? No, you don't have to raise your hand, right? Like, blink twice, right? God's doing something in your life. And if you, by faith, choose to see God in this moment, you're going to receive from God. But if you, without faith, decide, "I ain't going to get anything from this," it will take a Saul to Paul moment to get you to change. But we don't want that. We want to be able to see how God has been working in our lives all along. Amen? So Jesus comes to the disciples and he speaks something that is opposite of what the group thinks. Can I tell you that the majority is not always right? That the loudest person is not always right? That just because you see it blaring about a certain narrative or something that people have gone through is not always right? You go out and look at the news. Look at everyone shouting from the rooftops. The Pharisees were the loudest group at that time, and they weren't right. What is right? What is truth? Thank goodness we have the scripture, but we also have the Holy Spirit to give us the ability to discern between spirits. That's why it's important to bounce things off with one another. You don't just find people that agree with what you already believe. That's the fallacy of this generation. Who supports this idea? So you put it online, and you find a group of people that carry this type of hurt with you. Yeah, all men are mean. All women are mean. Yeah, churches, I'm the church. I don't need to go to a church. Like you fall, this is what happens is we find these groups that are carrying the same types of fears or burdens. And what they do is they teach opposite to what is scripture. Do not be surprised when you surround yourself with these type of people when you start to experience the fruit that they have. Isolation, separation, right? I'm not talking about negativity. Don't use that word in a worldly context, right? It's about having faith even in the midst of negativity being presented to you. Well, don't speak that over me. I know I got this type of disease, but don't speak that over me. What has more power, the words that the doctor speak or the word that God speaks, right? So if someone's coming up to you and they're saying like, "Hey, man, this might end in XYZ, oh, don't speak that. We can't speak it into existence. Who cares? I'm not going to live in fear of what other people say. I'm going to live in fear of what I say that doesn't line up with the word. That's way deeper than what I thought it would be, right? I'm not going to live in fear of what other people are saying. Are you going to give people that much control over your life? Right? You ain't going to find that job. Oh, don't say that. Don't speak that into the universe. I know a God that created the universe. You know what? You can come to me and say, yeah, it's going to come after you. It's like, no. So you, as a Christian, do you need to fear curses? Don't curse me. No, I know who my God is, right? And if someone came after my son and was like, "Hey, you'll never be X, Y, and Z," I'd be like, who are you to speak that over my son? You know where the problem comes in? When he agrees with what that person said over what I've said. So we don't go into agreement with what the world says. God, don't you care if we're going to drown? See, when we think like the world, do not be surprised when our fruit is worldly. The Bible says the devil is the author of confusion. When you're confused, what does tomorrow hold? Fearful of tomorrow? These are all real emotions. But don't let your anger turn to rage. Don't let your anger turn to hatred. Don't let your questions about the future turn into an anxiety. But even if you have these things, God gives you a promise on the way out. Some people will say, hey, like all these things that I've mentioned, whether it be anger, frustration, lust, difficulty, hatred, like I've struggled with these things. Well, you're the pastor. It's like, yeah, I'm human, right? I've struggled with these things. Well, but pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. But just because I haven't gone through it doesn't mean that I can't give you advice on how to get out of it. So let's get rid of all that little narrative that says, well, bro, you don't know what I've been through. That is a lie from the pit of hell. So imagine there's someone, I would use an example, but I don't like to humiliate people unless I had someone up here and they were playing my role. But imagine someone facing down on the ground with their face into the plywood of this stage. And I said, hey man, you need to turn around because it's much brighter when you stop, get your head out of the dirt. And they just said back to me, yeah, but if you just knew what I was going through, if you would just put your head down here with me, you would know what I'm going through and then you would feel what I'm feeling. Can I tell you that I do not need, I can give you empathy. I can look at you and say, man, that really is hard. I really wish you could turn around, tell me about it. But I do not need to bow my knee to your stupidity. Because all you need to do is just activate a little faith. This can turn around. Say that, say that. Say, this can turn around. Say it again. Say, this can turn around. Oh, God, don't you care if I drown? People can give you advice without actually experiencing what you've experienced. It's called the ad hominem fallacy. When you attack the person rather than the argument that the person is presenting, it's a common thing that we see today. Imagine, did you know that some of the best hitting coaches in the MLB are not very good hitters themselves, but they sure know a lot about hitting, right? And they can teach the greatest Aaron Judges of society today in the MLB today. Just because someone is not good at something does not mean that they can not give you advice in it, right? So personal trainers, you could look at that. Well, they don't have a six pack. They just not know what they're talking about. Weigh the argument, not the person presenting the argument. So when I share stuff with you in scripture, when I share with you what the Bible says, I'm not looking for a church that is just caught up in groupthink. And everyone is just, oh yeah, everyone said good, so I guess that's what the Bible says. Weigh it for yourself. I love that we have a feedback culture in our church. That church isn't like a presbytery. We're all just kind of being quiet and we're just taking. Now, if you want to be quiet, more power to you. But I like the feedback. But just because the feedback is there, I love the feedback. But just because the feedback is there doesn't necessarily mean it's always true. You know, when truth comes in, when we weigh it against scripture, we're like, you know what? I'm saying I agree, not because the church has a feedback culture, but because I know that to be true in the Word of God. All right? So we can easily become victims to groupthink because we are not by design lone wolves. Science says to deviate from that idea of groupthink, it creates an error signal in our mind. Like, hey, you're going against the status quo. I just encourage you, look up groupthink this week. YouTube it. There's some examples of people that would do things that they never would have thought they would have done, all because the majority was going with it. God, don't you care if we drown? Oh, yeah, there's a storm, and Jesus is just sleeping. They were victims of groupthink. Groupthink is when you allow the world around you to dictate what comes out of you. But I want to insert something different. We're not victims of groupthink. In this world, in this church, in society, we are not victims of groupthink. Again, groupthink is when you allow the world around you to dictate what comes out of you. I want to insert this idea of faiththink. Faiththink is when you allow the word inside you to dictate what comes out of you. When you take a moment to let the word get inside you, to saturate your soul, you know that when an objection is presented against you, faith rises up inside of you. As a pastor, I am not here to tell you what to think. Although some people may like, come on, pastor, just tell us what to think. Where's the power in that? If you don't actually believe it to be true, the moment it is an argument is presented against it, you don't question the argument. You question me, and then you question who I represent. So better than telling you what to think, I'd rather teach you how to think. Because I might not be able to cover everything. But theologically, culturally, there are issues that are coming against Christianity today, coming against Jesus today. And I'm not going to be with you 24/7, but you know who is? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So you know how you think? When something's presented and an argument is presented, you take captive every thought and every pretension that presents itself against the knowledge of Christ. That's in the book of, I think, Colossians, where it talks about when things are presented to you, you got to bring it to the Lord. So if I just tell you what to think eventually there is going to be an opposite of that think. And you got to know what to do with it. Not to be a victim of groupthink, but of faith think. It's not what I say, but what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That's why it's important that you're a steward of the word. That's why it's important that you read the word of God. Don't let me be your daily reading. I mean, maybe one day I'll do an audio book and I'll just be like, thus saith the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 32. You know, right? Like, maybe. I don't know. If you put, I got one subscriber. Do I got any other ones, right? Like, about to start a YouTube channel in here. All right, so Christianity is not groupthink. It's transformative think. It is continually transforming us. It's transforming us. The scripture's not changing. We see the churches and different people changing. But Christianity, at its core, does not change unless we deviate from the foundation. So it's transformative thing. It transforms your outlook. It transforms your profession. It transforms your situation. It transforms your motivations. It transforms your mindset. To be in the midst of the storm, when everyone else is shouting in fear, you can declare in faith, God is going to get the glory in this. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You want to talk different, realize the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. It's about time we change the narrative of what we communicate, what we profess, how you talk. You can be in the world, but not of the world. But if you're in the world and talking like the world, you are receiving what the world says. Don't be surprised when you have the fruit of what the world has. Fear, anxiety. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You want to think differently? Ask yourself, what are you intaking? We live in a world full of voices, and you need the voice that can say, quiet, be still. We have a lot of different social medias in here. Some people very active on social media. Some people very active on the news. But you have to be mindful of what you take in. When you take things in, don't be surprised when you get the fruits of the world, and you're always anxious, and you're always fearful. I'm not just trying to get a result. Yeah, I just don't want you guys to fear anymore. I don't want you to be anxious anymore. I'm not after the feeling, but I am after the fruit. The fruit is something greater inside you. It's not about just, oh, I just don't want to feel anxiety anymore. That's not the goal. The goal is to be like Jesus and to know Jesus. And a byproduct of knowing Jesus is you don't have that fear anymore. Does that make sense? I just want to kind of share that. The other day I was on the Instagram, the gram, the Insta, right? I don't do that TikTok stuff. It's going away anyways, by the way. Sorry. Sucks to be you. And I pulled up my phone, and, you know, they have these community guidelines, and it says, this post violates our community guidelines. And you can see why, or you can see real. And curiosity got the best of me, and I'm like, I just want to see really what's going on. Well, it was posted by someone that I trusted. And I pulled it up, and I hit see real, and it was a video of a pastor being stabbed. His name's Marmari Emmanuel. He's a pastor in Australia. He's doing fine. He recovered, and he forgave the guy that stabbed him. It was definitely persecution. And I, for a moment, I saw that, and it assaulted my soul. Now, fear came over me. Well, I'm a pastor. What if someone, like, you want a piece of me? No, I'm joking. I ain't gonna do that. I'll kick you. This may be a weapon in my mouth, but it's also one of mine, right? Like, all right, enough of that. All right. The idea was, like, I trusted it, and it hit me. I'm like, that ruined, like, 4 hours of my day. And I started reading up on about it, and I could feel like, man, there is not peace coming out of me right now. There's anxiety, there's fear, there's anger. Now, anger's okay, but don't let it turn into sin, right? But I let it control me. The storm, Lord, don't you care? Right? And for a moment, I realized God says, you got to put up a boundary on what you take in. Because if it's allowing it to affect the fruit of your life, then don't let it in your life. Oh, but God said I can partake in this stuff. Yeah, but if it's giving you the wrong fruit, put a boundary. It's a boundary. Everyone say boundary. Boundaries are okay. So what I do? I unfollowed him. It's as simple as that. I stopped listening to it. Now, there may be a time where I follow it together, but my heart is not in the right place to be able to receive that. So I know I got to be able to build up my faith, my heart, right? Doesn't mean I have to avoid it altogether, but I do have to turn it off until my heart can get to the point where it can resist it. That even when I'm in the storm, faith is coming out of me. Now, do you have boundaries for what you allow into your life? Do you have boundaries that let you shape your thinking? Can I tell you, we're not meant to carry the problems of the world in the palm of our hands. This world has enough trouble as in of itself. Now, in order to get those promises of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit, faith, you have to follow the process of God. Everyone say process. The processes of God, Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Paul was saying this in prison. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, here's the process. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the peace of God, promise. A lot of us want the promise, but we're not able to do the process. You want the peace of God. The process sometimes has to do with boundaries. Sometimes it has to do with thanksgiving and realizing how good God has been to you. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Well, I'm in the middle of the storm, but the peace is guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, do it. Don't just hear it. You are what you think. Actually, you are what you do. Because I know a lot of people that think a lot of good things. Well, I read that book, Millionaire Mind. Yeah. 5 years later, I got a new mindset. Well, you never applied it. So did you really believe it or did you just think it? So I put a little like niche into, I'm all for positive thinking. I'm all for thinking differently. I'm all for thinking about assets rather than liabilities and the idea of rich dad, poor dad. I'm all for that, right? But apply it. Do it. Well, he says, whatever thinks, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, think of such things. Okay. I don't actually believe such things. I don't actually put them into practice. Be a person that actually applies. The Bible says in the book of James, a person that looks in the mirror immediately forgets what they look like. It's like a man that hears the word but never applies it to their life. To be a person that applies the truth, some people are getting baptized today, right? And from this day moment, yeah, the water is cold. It's got spiritual benefits and health benefits. It's like a cold plunge. Think of it like that. But you're going to go down in the water and you're gonna come back up. That's a moment. And then every day after that, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you to decide to continue to follow Jesus. To make the choices every single day, that's action. Anyone can get baptized. Baptism follows a profession of belief and faith in Christ. You can get baptized today, even if you didn't register. We got shorts, we got a towel, right? You can get baptized today. And even if we didn't have that, the power of Christ compels you to get baptized as a believer in Christ. You should get baptized today. Well, I got baptized as a baby. Did you do that or did your parents do that? So let the Holy Spirit convict you into something good. I need to get baptized today. I'm going to get baptized to be able to say it's no longer I who live. That person goes in the water. The old is gone. The new has come. Right? So you can mark this day as April 21st, 2024, the year of our Lord, as the day Eli died. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You want the promises of God? Gotta follow the processes of God. This is not by works, but it is by faith. if God is labeling this out, I would be a fool not to follow it. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Should I share with you just a few more things? If you feel lost, let me ask you the question, are you really lost? Who knows where you're at? If you're in the middle of a lake, who knows you're there? Someone cannot rob you of that. That purpose, that joy. Someone cannot take it from you. Your joy is yours to manage and it's yours to protect. If they took it, keep it in a better place. People don't have that kind of control over you. Now, emotions do have a place. There are some things that you need to feel out, but you are not what you feel. And this is for someone today. Emotions are not the throne of your life. And some of you have been bowing down to pity and self-pity. And God has been telling you, you are not what you are feeling. Get up. Get up. You're not what you're feeling. Get up. Start running after him. You may feel one way, but you're not that. If you're still taking notes, write this down. We do not follow our feelings. We follow our faith. And who is in you? Who's in your boat? You may be scared, but was Jesus scared? You may be saying, I feel fear. We're called to work out our faith with fear and trembling. You can say you feel fear. That's okay. That is acknowledging a fact. The emotion is valid, but it is not going to last forever. Just like a storm doesn't last forever, it will pass. It's not who I am because Jesus is in me and Jesus isn't scared. So, scared Eli isn't the Eli I'm gonna be. I notice the fear, I evaluate it, but then I remind myself that I'm not meant to walk in it. So if I'm afraid of a storm, it's wise to carry an umbrella, but it is not wise to be held hostage in a house because I'm afraid that it might rain. I will not be held hostage by anything or anyone that keeps me from living the life God has called me to live. So God gives you the joy, not the world. If the world didn't give it, the world cannot take it away. And if the world gave it, don't be surprised when circumstances change it. But faith is not based off of circumstance. So I close with John chapter 14, and I'll share some from John chapter 16. We'll go back into worship and close. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. It's temporary, like flaky, but it's something more of substance. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Chapter 16, verse 20, these are the words of Jesus. Verily, truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. It's talking about his death. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Do you have faith that God can turn it around in a moment? God can change it? Activate your faith today. I believe God's going to do something in this moment for his glory. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. No one's going to take away, because if God gave it, not even the powers of hell can take it away. Amen? So let's be the type of church. Let's be the type of people that live in faith. So you can step in your workplace and people are speaking all doom and gloom. And to an extent, not to get too eschatological in here in terms of end times, right? Regardless of when Jesus comes back, what type of person are you going to be? Well, you know, the world's coming to an end. Jesus is going to come back. And I say that because it cannot change you. I'm not going to live in fear, right? If the world goes to hell, I'm still called to live in faith. I'm still called to declare faith. I'm still called to pray over the sick. I'm still called to live knowing that God is my provider. I'm still called to believe that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I don't bow my knee to whatever the world is complaining about or whatever the world is panicking about. I actually surrender to Christ and say, he is greater in me than he that is in the world. That's what it means to walk in faith. And if the world didn't give it, guess what? World cannot take it away. Amen. Hey, I want to take a moment. I want to pray for some people here today. if you're asking the Lord to restore to you joy, restore to you peace, the devil's came and tried to rob it from your life, I want to pray a prayer of you and ask the Holy Spirit to restore it. Lift up your hand if you're saying, God, I want to get some joy. I want to get some peace in my life. I see hands up all over the place. Let's begin to intercede. Holy Spirit, right now, I pray that you would speak to your people, that you would strengthen them, that the fears and anxiety would cease in Jesus' name. Give them the strength to follow your process in order to receive your promise. Do not be anxious about anything, the Lord says, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So we speak right now, peace to guard your heart and mind, joy to give you strength in the morning. We pray for provision. We pray for fruitfulness. We pray for faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Come on, how many of y'all thankful for the Lord? Lord, we thank you that we need you, and we call out to you today. Come on, let's sing this out.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.